Log.
Mondays is a drink into the soul I'm seeking. I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce.
Left for Dead after Snow White leaves, and I'm just gonna pipe this right through the Xbox, y'all.
yes. Well, Michelle, you can't play any Left for Dead with her there. No.
No, you're right. I forgot. I was gonna say I could play, but she won't watch. So.
we'll probably a couple of little zombies.
She's just one of those very, very girly girls that gets scared.
They just want to play with you, that's all.
I gotta tell you though, when I first moved into this house, before we got the backlight for my yard, I swear to you, as much as I love Sam Fisher, it's one thing to love him, it's another thing when you think he's coming to get you, because you know he's going to get you, and I swear, I used to look out in the backyard and I'd see those little three lights from his night vision. I swear, I was scared of Sam Fisher, as much as I love him. I didn't know whether to run or pounce on him. I don't know which one. And also my other favorite, too much, when you play too much games story is, you haven't played Bullet Witch, have you?
No, I've not.
Well, Bullet Witch, one of the most beautiful games, but also one of the most epically stupid games as far as programming, but they had a character in there called a Walnut Head. I swear to you, this was also when I first moved here. I came outside and it was, I've been living in apartments for so many years. It's been a while since I lived in a house. So, you know, you're not used to your neighborhood noises. I swear I heard a walnut head around the corner. I was standing on the corner, peeking down the street going, if I see something floating around with a very big brain, I am screaming and running. The whole gamer thing, go out of me. I'm just going to scream and run. Those of you who played Bullet Witch are now, you're going to have that noise stuck in your head all day. Because that's what they sound like. Anyway, good morning.
Good morning. It is Thursday morning. God, this week has gone by fast.
It's because of Memorial Day. Welcome to lunch with Ginger and Corey.
And I'm
Zelda.
All right, well, if you're Zelda, I'm Princess Peach.
I'm Zelda for a certain person out there. I think she gonna take my man. You know why.
Oh no. Oh no.
No, she backed off. She understood. Girl,
the
I would.
Corey will cut you.
Yes, that is. Link is mine. Mine, mm-hmm. I'm mine. Oh.
Knock it in between you and Link. Mm-mm. No. I prefer to have my hide attached to me thing.
That's why he's on my desk and looking at me as we speak. Hello, darling. How you doing?
And this is the episode in which we realize Corey is crazier than we thought.
Straight I am.
You know what they say about those crazy girls, though.
crazy. Yeah, y'all know that song. I'm not going to sing it. It's morning. All right.
All right, 3 minutes in, we're already out of order. All right.
That's how we roll.
Yes, it is.
I have... No news because my Firefox is loading like it has molasses in it, so.
Well, then I will go first.
Thank you.
All right. I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning. Security expert Sony Sony Microsoft should hire hackers. Legat Security International's Gregory Evans says that both the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live remain vulnerable to cyber attacks, and that both companies should consider hiring hackers to test security. He says most big corporations have what's called an annual security audit, and they go out and hire outside security companies. But they're nothing but a bunch of IT managers who went out and got a bunch of certifications, and now they come in to see if your system is truly hacker-proof. These IT managers who take the test to become a certified computer hacker, or a CISSP, have to work in a lab and hack into a system that's in a controlled environment. Evan goes on to say that a true computer hacker will test a target system where others might not think to check.
Exactly.
Testing security in a controlled environment doesn't make a lot of sense, he adds. Evans also said that Sony has been punished by the media for its honesty and that corporate hacks happen all the time, most with never being reported. He also says Sony has about 100 million customers has about 100 million customers out when they got hacked. They're out there at the forefront of the news, but big corporations get hacked every single day. Only 17% of companies whose computers were hacked report them to law enforcement due to fear of negative publicity. 90% of Fortune 500 networks have been hacked. Evan thinks that online gaming is a significant security threat that most gamers aren't aware of. It's not just Sony gamers that are at risk. It's anyone who has any online console like Xbox or Wii. Nothing's 100% secure. Even if Sony had never been hacked, when anybody goes online to do anything, play games, search the internet, you're always taking a risk that somebody might get your information. When you're connected to your Wi-Fi and you're playing online games, it's opening up hundreds of ports. Each one of those ports is like a door that a hacker can use to bypass your firewall and get into your computer.
Yes.
And the gaming in the gaming community, most people don't even know this is happening.
Yeah, we do. Do we know how to stop it is the question.
That is true. That is true. There used to be a site you could go to research your ports and see which ones were open, which ones were vulnerable.
Yeah. And I don't, they say most gamers don't know. I disagree because that's one of the first things I learned. What I didn't learn was how to keep it from happening, which is, we need a class for that.
Yes, yes we do. And I'm sure there's probably one out there.
Or we could
we
do it.
We should attend it.
Or we should do it.
Oh, we should. Yeah.
Rare.
A couple of dollars to view it.
Well, I'm sorry, I all interrupted your story. Yes, it's Thursday morning.
It is Thursday morning.
Were you done sharing with our lovers?
I'm done sharing, yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of my man and his the gig that he has over at E3.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if I can get it to load. Come on, Firefox, stay up. Keep up with me. I don't know what you said, Ginger, but I know it was dirty. You stop that.
For once, I was being good.
Well, there's, of course, the rumors floating around about Zelda Skyward Sword. I did tell you guys you would not see it on the Wii, on this generation's Wii. Nobody listens to me. But the rumor is that it's complete, and it will not feature series villain Ganondorf, who I love as well, as the antagonist, and we'll get a 10-minute live-action prologue, according to the slate of rumors published by Zelda Informer. And Nintendo, of course, will demo Skyward Sword at its E3 press conference next week and confirm final details about the long-anticipated title. Despite a first mention at E3 2008, there's still so much to learn, including the final release date. Ha ha ha. New rumors suggest that the game is complete and will launch the 1st of November 2011. That's the same day as Uncharted 3, and within 2 weeks of Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3. Why are y'all trying to split us like this? Don't do this to us. Oh, that's too much in 1 week. Okay, so perhaps the most surprising claim is that Nintendo has filmed a 10-minute live-action prologue to Skyward Sword for release online. Even more bizarre, the daughter of Robin Williams, who is an actress and avid gamer named Zelda Williams, tweeted last week about her involvement in a super-secret Nintendo shoot. Could they be related? A live action. I wonder who's Link. Is it an animated character? Or is it a real guy? Because if there's a real guy, I got to have him. Okay. demos of Airborne.
Hydra actors.
Okay, so demos of Airborne Combat, Overworld, and Sky Exploration, plus a desert dungeon, will apparently be playable at E3. Now, this is plausible because we know the sections of the title will take place in a cloud city named Skyloft, which floats above Link's regular realm of Hyrule. Princess Zelda apparently has a new design similar to an Egyptian princess, which means she'll be naked, while archenemy Ganondorf appears briefly as a child. So who's this story's big bad? Well, it's a mysterious pale-faced magician figure, according to the GDC trailer. His name is supposed to be Nefiburu. He's one of the evil... That's a hell of a name. He's one of the evil...
How do you say that?
Nefiburu. Nephiburu, Nephiburu, Nephiburu. Go ahead and Google that. He's one of several evil sorcerers who is allegedly looking to steal the Triforce. The long-rumored Skyward Sword figure who communicates with you through the weapon is said to be named Dorella. I like that it's a girl. Okay, so, of course, there's the horse riding and boat sailing are included, the latter of which is apparently necessary to complete one of the game's dungeons, reminiscent of the Temple of Gods in Zelda Wind Waker. After completion, extra levels within dungeons will unlock to test all the abilities Link has obtained. New areas will appear in the game's overworld, too. The rumors also mention a fully orchestrated soundtrack similar to the one from Super Mario Galaxy 2. And it is confirmed that Iwata, he did an interview. Gosh, I can't say the name. I'm all excited. Iwaka's, well, you can go to visit his area. Iwakaasks.nintendo.com. He's going to take care of the orchestra. I'm so excited now. I can't talk. Okay, so anyway, Nintendo... press conference takes place this Tuesday, June 7th at 5 p.m. UK time. So that's early morning for us. We will most likely be on the air during that time or something like that. I'm not sure. we'll be letting you know more details probably tomorrow morning. Oh, and the we do have some of the footage from GDC. I'm trying to pull that from where I have found it. So if we get that, I'll put that up on the site for you. So look for it in our little trailer feed that we have on the front page there. And Link, oh, love the legs, dude, love the legs. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Somebody get some ice for Corey.
I don't need no ice.
All right. Catwoman confirmed as playable character in Batman Arkham City.
Oh, hot.
Mm-hmm. In anticipation of E3, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and DC Entertainment are excited to announce that Catwoman is a fully playable character in Batman Arkham City on all platforms for which the game will be available, which is the Xbox 360, the PC, the PlayStation 3. As Catwoman, players will have a chance to indulge in their darker side and explore Arkham City as the infamous feline femme fatale. Complete with her own storyline in the main game, Catwoman's adventure complements Batman's central role and is seamlessly, I cannot talk.
Mm-hmm. Link does that to people.
Yes, Link. It's all your fault, Link. All right, so her role is seamlessly interwoven with his main story arc. She will also be playable in the challenge maps with her own unique combat moves, gadgetry, and signature takedowns. Batman Arkham City builds upon the intense atmospheric foundation of Batman Arkham Asylum, sending players soaring into Arkham City, five times larger than the game world in Batman Arkham Asylum. And the new maximum security home for all the Gotham City thugs, gangsters, and insane criminal masterminds set inside the heavily fortified walls of a sprawling district in the heart of Gotham City, this highly anticipated sequel introduces a brand new story that draws together a new all-star cast of classic characters and murderous villains from the Batman universe, as well as a vast range of new and enhanced gameplay features to deliver the ultimate experience as the Dark Knight. Batman Arkham City is based on DC Comics' core Batman license. Fans can visit batmanarkhamcity.com to sign up and receive updates regarding the game and join the discussion on the recently launched community site at community.batmanarkhamcity.com. Yay! So awesome.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a Catwoman game since Halle Berry's one, which they've ruined.
Yeah, I love it when they give us girl characters that you can actually play.
I just don't want her to be soft, because that was my argument with the one that came out after Halle Berry's movie. Because you know why they're putting her in the game, don't you? We're getting a new Catwoman, who will be Anne Hathaway.
I don't know what to think about Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. That's going to be interesting.
I can see it. I can see it, because I watch Devil Wears Prada quite often. She has on a Catwoman-esque outfit towards the end of the movie.
That is true.
The black bustier with the very tight black skirt.
Yes, I can see it. I remember that.
I can see it. So we are getting a Catwoman because they're going to...
She always played the sweet little girl's role thing, you know, more or less. Well, all right, except for what was that most recent one? Love and Drugs or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a great actress. One of the Disney kids that didn't go wrong, so...
Very true.
One of the Disney girls, I should say, because the boys are always good. Some girls got issues. Lindsay, straighten it up. All right, so speaking of people who need to straighten up, EA.
EA, what did they do again? What did they do this time?
Well, they're asking the California court to dismiss a lawsuit brought forward by former NFL developer Robin Antonick. You heard this from us before. It's also up from our friends at GamePolitics.com. Antonick, who's a programmer who helped create the original John Madden football while working as a contractor over 20 years ago, sued EA earlier this year, claiming that he is owed 20 years worth of royalties.
Mm-hmm. Ouch, 20 years.
So on Tuesday, EA asked the California federal court to dismiss Antonick's claims because they are invalid. EA disputes the claim of code legacy because the game was built from the ground up when the second game was made and provided Antonick with the source code of that game as proof. Antonick's claims describe the four key areas of the code as code as methods, processes, and algorithms. But these concepts, EA argues, are not covered by U.S. copyright law, and they may be right, it's the bad part. The complaint itself describes four elements as methods, processes, and algorithms, reads their statement. I hate when they do that. Since copyright protects only expression, not ideas, methods of operation, or algorithms of a computer program, the complainant's own allegations defeat the contract claim. Antonick's contract with EA provides for royalty payments for only for derivative works under copyright law, not simply for any work that traces some idea back to or shares a name with the versions Antonick worked on. Antonick, of course, will have to prove that the code he created was used in subsequent games and if that use constituted original expression. This becomes more problematic for Antonick to prove as the shift from PC code to console development changed everything about the game. You can pop over and check that out on GamePolitics.com or GI.biz, and I'm hoping that he gets his money.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's going to be difficult to prove. Wow.
Yeah.
People, protect your code. I know coders that actually put their name in the middle of their stuff because, you know, you can do that when you're coding. Well, if you don't know that, you can comment your name into your code somewhere.
That's true.
And make it not work if your name's not in it. I'm just saying, I've seen people do it. I personally don't know how to make it work because if I put my name in it, it just stops working. But but yeah, you could do that. Mm-hmm. And they got other ways of protecting your code. Protect your code.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've got two kind of short stories, but they go together. I'm pulling these both from GamePolitics.com this morning. It's Alive. PlayStation Store returns with massive content updates.
Did you have to say it's alive?
It's alive. It's alive. Mm-hmm. All right, great. Now I got a weird science song going through my head.
Me too.
Oh, boy. All right, so Sony Computer Entertainment America has relaunched the PlayStation Store and unleashed a massive update offering lots of new games, downloadable content, demos, special discounts, and more for both the PSP and the PS3. The Welcome Back games are not available yet, but Sony plans another update to the system on Friday, June 3rd. The PlayStation Store has been down for over a month, so you can expect that in order to play catch-up, SCEA will be releasing a ton of new content over the next 2 or 3 weeks. You can check out all the new content on the PlayStation blog. The most exciting thing for PS3 fans may be the release of the Infamous 2 demo, which is available now. Yeah, and that ties in with, where'd it go? PlayStation Store overload causing connection errors. Oh, yes. Boys and girls, calm down. Back away from the PS3.
Right?
Like, back away from the store. It's all right.
It's
all right. It's
going to be there. Did they say they were going to leave it up? I thought we had dates for like a year, so they know. It's not like you need to rush out and get it right now.
I know. All right, so if you try to log on to the PlayStation Store this morning, you may encounter some technical difficulties. Please stand by. Apparently, the massive amounts of traffic slamming the network is spitting out an error message to some users. Sony says that this is entirely due to extremely high traffic volumes and that this should ease up as the day goes on. SCEA's Nick Kaplan says, there are so many of you accessing the store at the moment due to the excessive load, it's a little slow. We are improving it as I write this, so you'll see improvements in speed as the day progresses. This is the sort of thing to be expected, considering that the store dedicated to PS3 and PSP has been down for well over a month. Boys and girls, breathe,
Freeze. I know you've been rocking back and forth in your corners for weeks. It's okay. It's okay. There's enough crack for everybody. Just calm down.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I'm not even, I don't think I was even interested in any of the games they were offering, so.
No. I looked at it, and I was kind of like, you know, even if I did have a PlayStation and a PlayStation Network account, these mm-hmm. are not. I would be actually a little bit miffed. I'd be like, really? A month gone and all my information stolen and this is all you got to offer?
A month gone and my information stolen? I'm going to need a copy of L.A. Noir. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I'll take
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Free copy for everybody. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right there.
Copy. Pay for it.
Yes.
Ship
yes,
it to me.
Yes.
I'll pay for the shipping. I could afford $2 or $3. I'll pay for the shipping. Just give me a copy. Just get
yeah.
it to me. Hot on the heels of my trip out to GameStop yesterday, which I was planning to Twitter or send to you guys while I was in there because, you know, I haven't been able to get to GameStop in many moons. I got to play the 3DS. I'll talk about that later tonight. But I saw this today, and, of course, it jumped off of the page of the mailbox to me from the lovely people at Activision. There's a new virtual pet. Now, don't start shaking your head or rolling your eyes. Listen. So now, this is called the first video game control toy pet. It is a little, we have an image up. You have to see it on the site. It's up now. They're saying they're introducing the evolution, the next evolution of virtual pets, which is going to be available on the DS or your 3DS or your DSi or like whichever one you have, all of them. It's not going to be available till Christmas, and it's called a Wappy Dog. He's developed by
Wappy Dog.
Yes, Wappy. It's so adorable. He's developed by Sega Toys, and he interacts with the player through your Nintendo DS. Again, he's a little 3D dog that sits not inside the DS, but outside. It's already been hailed by TimeForKids.com as the best of the toy world and video game world. It teaches young gamers to raise their very own puppy in both the real and virtual worlds and teach it cool tricks, play mini games together, and even talk. The pet is fully personal. Is a fully personalized experience, so it enables players to customize both the in-game version and the physical dog with different colors and accessories. So the player's interaction with their Wappy Dog determines the pet's constantly evolving personality, skills, and happiness. So players communicate with Wappy using commands given through the Nintendo 3DS, which means you talk to him, just like you did with Nintendogs, remember? So he responds virtually by wagging his tail and other tricks, and physically with vocal barks and movements, just like a real pet. One that also sings and dances, that is. So they're saying they're very excited. Of course, they're excited about it when they saw it. This is the guy, David Oxford, over at Activision Publishing. He says, this is a one-of-a-kind toy and video game. Combines a strong emotional bond and exciting virtual experience with the interaction of a physical pet. Wappy Dog is a truly innovative next-generation toy and video game that gives kids an instant companion. Players can choose between home mode, which enables them to engage with Wappy Dog through the Nintendo DS, or travel mode, which gives on-the-go players a chance to continue caring for and playing with their pet virtually without the physical dog. So when the player comes back home, their dog's progress instantly transfers to the toy as though they've never been apart. Is that not the most awesome thing ever?
That is interesting. Hey, and no poop and no fleas.
Right? He has more than 350 evolving responses, each linked with a bark response that's translated by the DS. He can, what is it? I'm looking at, he has 5 mood states that are reflected by the colors on his cheeks. He can be unhappy. And if he's unhappy, he'll be uncooperative and stubborn. So you have to keep his cheeks all shiny and bright. Just like the nose has to be wet in a real dog.
Oh my gosh.
And of course, because he changes colors, they can tell if he's unhappy or happy just by looking at him. Oh, awesome. And you got your games. You have to feed him, bathe him. All this good stuff. I am excited to see this. I love innovative things. It's very innovative. You can, of course, go and check this out at wappydoggame.com. It's WAPPYdog.com. Or, of course, there is a big old honking picture of him up on our site. He is absolutely adorable. I want him. We want him. He's so cute.
That is cute.
He is absolutely adorable. I saw him and said, oh, I got to do this story. Do you see him, Ginger? Do you see him?
No, I'm looking for it, though.
Oh, he's a tooch. What's a puppy? I want a puppy. He's right there on the front page.
All right. I'm trying to pull it up. My internet's being. And for some odd reason, Blog Talk Radio just decided to pop up after I had it muted. So I'm like hearing ourselves echoing.
Oh, there he is. Oh, he's so cute.
Isn't he adorable?
Oh, he is adorable. I don't know what to think about that. He's all hard and, like, smooth, though.
Yes, but that means no poop, no fleas, no brushing, no hair. So, you know,
that's
for
true.
A...
true. Nothing to get matted in that fake fur because, you know, little kids.
Yeah.
He's got sticky little hands.
Yes. So when he gets Kool-Aid or there's sticky candy on him, he's just wipeable and you send him back on the way. Go on out there. Take
that is cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want one. I want it. I put him right underneath Link and say, guard Link. Good dog.
All right, I've got something here that just popped up on Facebook, actually, and it's just a rumor. There's not an actual story to go with it, but there are reports that Mass Effect 3 was up on the EA store under Kinect Compatible. It has since been taken down.
Oh, I think we must share this with our peoples on the Twitter.
Yes. That is amazing. That is... wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was on which store now?
It was on the EA store. It was up under Kinect Compatible. And a user over at NeoJoss, believe, Lakito, dude, if you're listening, I'm saying your name wrong. If anybody else tells you that I said your name wrong, my bad, my apologies. It's what you get for having a weird name. But he says it was up on the EA store and has since been removed. So now there's a rumor that the Mass Effect 3 is going to be Kinect compatible. Oh, BioWare, that is... I wonder if we're going to hear about this at
E3. Mm-hmm. Oh, if they show it at E3, that's going to be it. I may have... I've never played a Mass Effect. Please stop the gasping. And you know what we do here. I can't play all of them. I try.
There's too many. If we played them all...
Yes.
Spend them to us, though. I'll try.
Oh, I have tried. That's why I don't sleep.
I've been living off of like 3 hours worth of sleep.
I have been a bad influence on you, my ginger.
You have been such a bad influence.
I'm so sorry. So we can't play them all, but I believe that if they make it Kinect compatible, and it's good because the Harry Potter I had stuck, and yes, I sold it yesterday, EA. I will play. I will be a Mass Effect playing fool with my lovely ripped arms. Yes, and my ripped ass. I will be. Ooh. Okay, quickly. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is your turn.
All right. Oh. I am over on gamesindustry.biz, and I'm thinking, Ginger, we need to put together a hottest game developer list. I really do think so.
I know some of these guys are hot.
I am looking at the guy over at
Lab.
Yes, ICO Partners, Thomas Bedell, hot. Former DICE producer from Visceral, Gordon Van Dyke, hot. Where have you guys been hiding? Just in the basement doing the... Where have you been? We're doing this. We're putting together a hot developer.
Come out of the basement so we can see.
Ooh, we're going to have to do that. But on that note, if I can just catch my breath, because really they are seriously hot.
You got a Link right there in front of you.
I do. He's not helping. He's making it worse. Oh, we have to make a climb the developer booth at PAX. So you guys will be. I'm more 3DS news. I think I'm on 3DS.
3DS is hot right now.
Well, come on, Firefox. What is wrong with Firefox? You're turning into IE. Am I going to have to go back to IE? Is this what's going to happen? Do I have to break up with you?
I hope not. Please, no. Please don't send me back to IE. That'd be bad.
I'm going to have to break up with my Firefox.
It's been better recently. It's still got a couple of jinx and issues, but, you know.
I think we're going to break up.
Oh, no.
I do. Well, you guys have heard us talk about this before. I will skip the 3DS story because it's not wanting to load. Lovely Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucent Heart, you've heard us talk about them before, right?
Yeah,
well, they're going to be releasing that cosplay video series at E3. And they're offering $1,000 in prizes for artists in the upcoming Copic Creativity Challenge. Come on, people. Of course, after taking what they're calling numerous community requests for where to film, Game Mania Digital Entertainment announced today that its enticing Lucent Heart star Vanessa is ready to cosplay as Goddess Thea at the 2011 E3 Expo. Here we go with the booth babes. They're saying they're adding a dash of cuteness to everyone's E3 recap. Goddess Thea will be showing off her daytime adventures in a video series airing each night, June 7th through the 9th, All viewers are encouraged to tune in after digesting the latest E3 news for some fun cosplaying, and look at and you can get a look at the event by heading over to their official page. This is one story I will not be posting up, unfortunately, but I'll tell you about it. In addition, Game Mania has partnered with Copic Markers to give artists the chance to show off their talent during the Copic Creativity Challenge. You'll win $1,000 in prizes where you'll compete to draw the best piece of Lucent Heart fan art in either of the following categories.
TNA?
Goddesses.
Yeah, how did I know?
Which twin goddesses do you side with? The beautiful and benevolent goddess Thea, bearer of the powerful Lucent Heart, or her corrupted twin sister, the dark goddess Kadena? Create a piece of fan art that depicts one of the goddesses, sisters, or both. No bonus words for drawing goddess Thea from her video series. And, of course, Lucent Heart. There's so much to see and do in Lucent Heart. Create a piece of fan art that depicts your favorite aspect of the game. You know what? I know just the artist I'm going to give this to. You know why? Because that money's going to filter right back to me, and then I'm going to take your money, and then I'm going to talk bad about you. So,
yes, that would be awesome.
It's on.
I totally approve of that plan.
It is so on, people. Let me just write this in my little date book here. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you messed up. Okay. Ginger?
All right. I'm fully actual. Another story I just came across on Facebook because, you know, I'm a slightly addicted to that website.
Oh, no.
It's all your fault.
Mine.
Yes, all your fault. Mm-hmm. Father arrested for leaving child in hot car to play video game.
Oh, no.
Yes, Laurel County Sheriff's deputies arrested 25-year-old Ryan Segraves after they say he left his 5-year-old little girl unattended inside his car while outside temperatures reached nearly 90 degrees. Stupid guy. In Laurel County, a father is charged with leaving his daughter in a hot car while he played video games. I already read that part. She's safe now with other relatives while her father is in jail, which is where he deserves to be. Somebody please kick him in the head. Even the suspect's mother couldn't believe it when she heard the charges against her son. Tammy Segraves says that she was shocked when she found out sheriff's deputies had charged her for leaving her granddaughter Skylar unattended inside a hot car for at least half an hour. She says after hearing the news, she called Skylar to check on her. She said, "I'm fine, but it's not been a good day."
Aww.
Segraves told Skylar, "I know, baby. It's not been a good day for me either." Tammy Segraves says that her son went to what investigators describe as a game room where he played video machines. Oh, so it's not actual video games, but still. Laurel County Sheriff Deputy Gilbert, I'm going to kill your name, dude, Asciardo, says that when he went to arrest Segraves, Segraves tried to explain himself. Just that he was going to be in there a few minutes and wasn't going to be in there long and was on his way out conveniently at the same time we were going in to find him. Tammy Segraves is the first to admit leaving a child unattended in a hot car is a serious crime. That's why she has a warning for her son. Ryan, honey, I love you, but I'm going to kick your butt. Yes. As for that video game room where Segraves was arrested, the Laurel County Sheriff's Department tells us today the incident has made them aware of possible problems that need investigating. Yes. Yes, Ryan Segraves, you're an idiot. You don't deserve to be a father.
It's not really their place to say we have things that need to be investigated. People need to not be crazy.
People need to not be stupid. I mean, all right, 90 degrees here where I'm at is, I mean, it's hot. But that's not as hot as it can get. You still do not want to leave a small child in a car for any length of time by themselves for any reason, let alone during heat. That's just
they tell you even, okay, I'm going to hopefully he had the windows down. I'm hoping. With the windows up here in Houston during the summer, like right now, it can get up to 90 inside the car in a matter of seconds.
Yes.
So, and not just to 90, but above there, you know, it goes, it's going to get hotter. It's an enclosed space, especially with the newer cars. They're usually sealed off a lot tighter. So it's going to get upwards 107, 110 inside the car. So I'm hoping at least you had the windows down. I'm trying to find the good in here. I can't, I want to cut him, but I sat in the car yesterday with the windows up and I had the AC going and I was sweltering. I had to crack the windows.
Mm-hmm.
So a child who can't, who's not able to reach the windows, are you, you know, you left the key maybe, but does she know how to work it? No. And she's too little. Ooh, cutting.
Yes, too little, and that guy needs to be cut. So if somebody's around there, just reach over and smack him in the back
and
of the head for
where
me.
Does he, where are they from again?
Laurel County. I'm not quite for sure where that is at, actually. I pulled it from WKYTV, so wherever Laurel
County is.
That's
in Texas. He definitely needs to be shot because that's like a thing. That's one of our things here. They go over and over during the summer. Don't leave your little people in the car. Don't leave your little people in the car, people. Oh.
It looks like this is in Kentucky.
Oh, he's supposed to know better. That's still kind of a southern state. You know better.
Yeah. It's still hot. And it's summer down here, folks. Don't be stupid. I know for a lot of you it's really hard when we tell you to not be stupid, but please, for the love of God, pull the plastic bag off your head.
Or put one on and save the rest
of
the
Or put one on and tie it shut. That works too.
All right. Well, you guys will be happy to hear this. Games Industry is reporting that One Piece Unlimited is giving 3DS software a hardware boost. A week of new entries for the last week of the month has seen 3DS title One Piece Unlimited Cruise Special hit number one in its debut week on the Japanese software chart, but the PSP still remained the best-selling piece of gaming hardware in the region. One Piece was the best-selling game by a factor of almost three, shifting 80,000 plus copies as opposed to the second-place Troy Musafu's 31,000. Nine new games are represented in the top 20 for the last week in May, with four of the top five titles being released this week. Whilst DS sales are up impressively from the previous week, rising to 24,000 units from 17,000. The PSP has remained relatively stable in first place with 33,000 units, which is up from the 30,000 they had last week. All chart data, of course, is created. All chart data is courtesy of Media Create. they are number one. Oh, amazingly enough, all of the Wii and the DS are pretty much dominating are dominating the charts and over that way. 360 is like number seven on the list.
Yeah.
But PSP, 3DS, NDS, the Wii, DSi are all just completely dominating charts overseas. And we can't get any data from these people up over in this way. I'm still trying to get us some American charts. Just see, this is why the people in the UK love us. We tell them all their information, but they like to hear it with an American accent. They like our accent, too. We know y'all like it.
Yes, they do.
You love it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You want to see some American girls, don't you? You right there. Mm-hmm. I know you do.
All right.
You know I got to keep the controversy going. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got time for one more before I break. Shh, you. We got
time for one
more before the break. I'm cutting you. I am cutting you.
You can't reach me from there. Nah.
All right. It's from here. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead. We got one more before the break.
All right, AT&T, you know how much I hate you, so I'm going to call you out. This is up on GamePolitics.com this morning. AT&T's generous contributions to lawmaker-linked charities. Oh, yeah, imagine that, right?
Mm.
How do you give money to politicians without actually giving them a big fat check directly? You write a check to a charity they are closely associated with. That is just what AT&T has been doing, and it is getting the attention of public and media outlets. Yeah, like us, because I hate you.
Oh, that's not good.
Uh-huh. AT&T has given a substantial amount of money to charities connected to several lawmakers, including Senator Jay Rockefeller, who just happens to be the chairman of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, which has direct jurisdiction over the Federal Commission's Federal Communications Commission, a charity associated with Senator Thad Cochran, who just happens to be on the Senate Appropriations Committee. AT&T also gave a generous contribution to a charity. Cannot talk now. I give up.
That neck was too tight.
Shut up. All right. AT&T also gave a generous contribution to a charity associated with. Now I'm laughing too hard. You guys knew what was going on behind the scenes. You'd understand. All right, so that is associated with Representative Jim Clyburn, the number 3 House Democrat. His daughter, Mignon Clyburn, also happens to be a member of the Federal Communications Commission. These charitable contributions are perfectly legal and fully disclosed to the public, but most don't see the connection between the charities, the lawmakers, and the AT&T motive to get its $39 billion merger with T-Mobile approved by the FCC. That's why we have watchdog groups like Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington who see this sleight of hand by corporations more and more. Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, says, "It's another way to curry favor when you've maxed out in your political contributions. We're seeing it more and more. Since 2008, AT&T has given nearly $1.25 million to lawmaker-affiliated charities, according to tax records and lobbying disclosure data analyzed by Crew." Politico claims that the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute have been major beneficiaries of AT&T's generosity.
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Bad.
Several lawmakers in the two minority caucuses serve as the House Judiciary Committee, which recently held a hearing on the AT&T T-Mobile deal last week, where Randall Stephenson, AT&T's chairman and CEO, made an appearance. Yes, so other donations include $25,000 in 2008 and 2009 to the Mississippi State University Foundation and $15,000 to the Mississippi Council on Economic Education, $10,000 to the McConnell Center at the University of Louisville, $415,000 to the CBC Foundation and another group, the Congressional Black Caucus Political Education and Leadership Institute, $5,000 to the Missouri Walk of Fame on behalf of Representative Maxine Waters. Oh, and the list goes on. This is crazy, people.
Oh.
Yes, the other piece of this puzzle, T-Mobile gave around $85,000 to lawmaker-linked charities during the same three-year period. And one of the company's senior officials, Mary R. Silva Dixon, T-Mobile's chief legislative counsel, belongs to CBC's advisory council, Crew found. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. Mm. Still, it's hard to deny that donations, even well-intentioned ones with no ulterior motives attached, give an appearance of impropriety. I cannot say that word.
Impropriety.
Impropriety. Thank you. AT&T's donation include $165,000 to two organizations tied to Rockefeller, the Blanche Rockefeller Neurosciences Institute and the Alzheimer Association. AT&T and its employees have donated more than $38,000 to Rockefeller's reelection campaign over the past several years as well, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. In addition, the company kicked in an additional $8,000 to Rockefeller's leadership committee, Mountaineer PAC, in the last cycle. While Politico's article may have singled out AT&T, mostly because it's seeking approval on a merger that could have a dramatic influence on the mobile phone industry, plenty of other corporations are pushing generous donations to charities associated with lawmakers. Yes, Time Warner, I'm looking at you.
Wow, bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't let this happen, people. Well, it's going to happen, because you know most of us don't tend to care or watch, but seriously, this is not good.
Mm. Well,
you would play my song.
I would.
All right, and I'm dancing in my chair.
It is time for us to take a break, of course, where we go to the non-streaming portion. Remember, you can find this and other news on our website, GamerGirlsRadio.com or GamerNatrix.com or blogtalkradio.com/GamerGirlsRadio. I have something else. Let me give you a little bit of a teaser what we're going to be talking about after the break. I shall quote one of the greats. All we have to decide to do is what to do with the time we have given to us. Gandalf the Grey. Listen after the break to find out what I'm talking about.
I'm so good with this. I remind you, I'm so good with this. Boy, I'm just playing. All right.
Helps if I unmute myself.
Everybody loves that song.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, the video. Oh, seriously. Beyonce, if I played for the other team, girl, I'd be tracking you down.
I just want her shoes. I can still track her down. I'm on that.
Oh, she did have some hot shoes. Hell yeah.
The shoes, the dress, and the wig. All the time.
I need the wig right now.
I have told y'all, I can never go blonde. I'm one of those people,
You just can't pull it off.
Oh, I never told you I accidentally dyed my hair blonde one.
No, but I think I have pictures of this.
No, there are no pictures because no. That would be the time I learned about wigs and we got very intimate. Nobody saw. I think I went to work that way for one day. And when I tell you blonde, it was like that almost white blonde streak on the side. I was working the Morticia Adams for real. Oh, it's not Morticia. Is it Morticia that had the blonde hair or was it the other one?
I think it was Morticia.
Yeah, one of them chicks. But I was working it.
Blonde streak, right?
Yeah, okay. It was a white streak almost.
White streak.
Yeah, my natural hair color is jet black, so you can imagine how... how much that stood out. People are like, what happened? Were you scared overnight? It was an accident. I was trying to bump the color up, not bleach it, but you know how that happens. Anyway, yeah, but I cannot rock a blonde dude, not my color. Some red, maybe? Not the red you have, but that pretty magenta color, I can rock that. I've had it before. Blue-black, I can rock that.
I've actually had my hair that red color almost once.
I had mine blue-black 2 months ago. I think I'm going back.
I almost did. I almost dyed my hair the other day. It was going to be like a dark...
Have y'all seen Ginger's haircut? She keeps hiding it. It is so adorable. We have so similar...
It is not.
It is. We have a similar haircut. I got to get you down here so I can show you how to...
Seriously, I look at it in the morning and I'm like, no.
You need to do a nice little faux hawk with the little hair hanging in the face because Ginger has the killer eyes. Y'all have to see Ginger. Check out her Facebook page. She's gorgeous, really. Y'all see, I only hang with gorgeous people. Y'all have seen Snow White. She's gorgeous. I hang with gorgeous people.
I've not seen Snow White. I need to see Snow White.
Mm-hmm. Also gorgeous. Pretty, pretty green eyes, but she seems...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to come pounce on y'all this weekend.
Yes, but I don't hang with ugly chicks, so y'all know. So if you're hanging with me, that means you're gorgeous. If you were wondering, now you know. I'm serious. I cannot be with ugly chicks because then they're walking around going, oh, I don't look right. I don't want to hear that.
Hell no, once you're out that door, girl, you got to throw on some confidence.
That's
right. Whether or not you're feeling it.
I only hang with the divas. If I'm not hanging with you, if you notice I'm leaving you behind, you may or may not be ugly, but you definitely don't have a diva attitude. Can't play with you. All right. Speaking of divas and leaving people behind, how many of you just adore you some Gandalf the Grey? And, yeah, when he came back, he left and came back. Oh, you shall not pass, damn it. Okay, so you should go... Oh, I love me some Lord of the Rings, seriously. So, in case you guys didn't know, there's a new Lord of the Rings game coming out called War in the North. It is not part of the Lord of the Rings online. It will be on your console. Yes, PlayStation 3, Xbox, and the PC, for those of you who play on those consoles. Of course, they have released some artwork, which I do have.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So, if you want to know what the game is about... Let me clear my throat so I can share with you what they've given to us. With the nearly insurmountable weight of the survival of Middle-earth on their shoulders, the Fellowship of Three, the human, the elf, and the dwarf, prepare for the journey ahead. Traversing the territories of this little-known region, the Fellowship must work in concert, battling limitless hordes, testing the limits of the brutalities of war, protecting each other at every turn, if Middle-earth is to be saved. Looking to the bloodstained path that lies ahead, the Fellowship must not waver in the face of impending death. It's going to be an RPG, of course, based on the renowned works of J.R.R. Tolkien. There will be also innovative online and interdependent co-play for up to 3 players. So that means you will have to play with them people on your list that you really don't like, but you just added them because they asked you to.
Nice.
And they're saying the game is going to break new ground as the first Lord of the Rings game to embrace the gritty and brutal reality of J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle-earth. So it'll be, way harsher than you've been used to playing. It's going to be exploring some previously unseen lands, storylines, and characters, as well as those familiar from the past feature films. And gamers will experience expansive co-op gameplay and upgradable weapons, also character customization and development skills and special abilities. And, of course, again, as I told you, you must play together or perish as you work to defeat Sauron's forces in the north. The Lord of the Rings War in the North will be available again on PlayStation 3, Xbox, and games for Windows, but they have not given a date. I will see if I can harass it out of them, but this is Warner Brothers, so they will probably give me the runaround and ask for something from us, like Fluffy Cake Shots. I don't know. Anyway.
Send Master Blasters.
They're nice sometimes. Warner Brothers is fickle. Depends on the day you ask. But you can check out, or you can register to keep abreast of the game. Yeah, I threw that in. WarInTheNorth.com. Or you can also check it out on Facebook at LOTRWITN. Or you can follow them on Twitter at WarInTheNorth, which we have just begun following them. So probably you'll see a Twitter today. They don't want to let me Twitter. I don't know why. These bastards just don't want me to Twitter. They blocked my twit.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. Anyway.
Stop it, Ginger.
Brain just hit the gutter.
Uh huh. Necklace tight. So. Loosen that up a little bit.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Anyways, zombies. You don't love me some zombies.
Zombies cannot save you.
I know. Burn, Zombie Burn. Available now on the Apple Mac Store. Oh, yes. Capcom and Double Six Games launched the zombie-destroying global hit on the Apple Mac Store with extensive control options and in-game player guide. Burn Zombie Burn is out now on the Apple Mac Store. Apple Mac App Store. Burn Zombie Burn for Apple Mac features extensive control options to play the game in addition to mouse and keyboard, including PlayStation 3 DualShock wireless controller, Xbox 360 wired controller, Shock gamepad and BZB gamepad, and iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad free-to-download gamepad app. Woo! Ooh. Burn Zombie Burn is an action-packed arcade shooter where you take on the role of Bruce. Why is it always going to be Bruce? A character who has to fight off a never-ending horde of undead attackers with increasingly bizarre weaponry, including chainsaws, baseball bats, and mega machine guns. To score high, you'll have to set fire to as many zombies as possible. The more zombies on fire, the bigger your multiplier. But be careful, burning zombies are faster and much more dangerous. Yes.
Yes, we have learned this the hard way. Remember the burning room?
Oh, no. I still remember that one zombie in Fallen Areas. I'm on fire!
That's how we were playing the other night. When Zuki said to you, you are on the floor, not in a good way.
That was so true. I was
the burning room. The burning room. Oh. You are on fire.
I did that too. I don't know why I did that. I was trying to get back out the door, and just I backed up into the wall instead.
Tendra, why are you on fire?
I was face down so much.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Sorry. You're fired. You're fired.
I didn't say anything.
You guys thought it loud enough, though.
I didn't say a word. I said nothing.
You thought it loud enough.
All right. Normally, I do not share information from other guy website, but we'll share this with you because it involves you winning a console. I'm going to enter. Pop on over to GameSpot and check out what they're giving away. A Nintendo 3DS. It's portable. It's breakthrough. It's entertainment. You have to see it to believe it. I do believe it. I believe now. You can enter to win. This is a partnership with them and CNET, who we also try to avoid talking about. Let me see. I think you just go and you enter. I have an account over there. I very rarely say anything on their website, but you can pop over, win yourself a copy. Not a copy, but win yourself a 3DS. Would that be something if I won?
That would be something.
I don't think they'd like that very much.
They'd get over it.
Oh, they'd hate it. All right. You know what? I have a ton of stuff to give away. I didn't get to give away last week. So, guys, sometime over this weekend, I swear to you, I will be putting this stuff up to give away. I mean, I got a ton of codes for some games. And they'll all be in our new swag store. You have Ginger to thank for that swag store thing, by the way, because I was, you know, all loopy about, what am I going to do with this stuff? Our swag store doesn't...
The swag store is so hot.
Yeah, so you have Ginger to thank. She said, put it up there. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to hear that. I know it looks simple. Why didn't I think of it? Yeah, I felt that way, too. I felt stupid. Why didn't I? But I did it. It works. So y'all keep an eye on the swag store. Remember, you must be signed up on our site. You cannot access the swag store otherwise, and it doesn't cost you anything to sign up with the swag store. Did I mention that? Nothing at all. Mm-hmm.
No.
What you got to lose? You get some free games.
That's true.
There it is.
We like free games.
I like free games.
I know several of you companies need to be sending me some free games.
Word.
I know you get my email.
I'm debating. You think I should do the Sims review since they were being fickle about giving us a copy? Should I do it? I guess.
Should you do the Sims review since they say, you know, only girls play the Sims?
They did a decent job. I will tell you one amazing thing I am most amazed about. It does not work for me at present, but it could just be user error, honestly, because I was kind of tired when I was playing. The Facebook link where you can share your stuff that's going on in your game on Facebook is pretty damn amazing, considering the game that it is. I was shocked, but I could not get it to work for me. I'm not sure why. But I'll try again today. But that's pretty amazing. And I know some of you is like, why would I want to see screenshots? But, you know, I'm pretty funny on paper. So so I could come up with some really interesting captions to go with some pictures where it's not at all what you would think when you look at it.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing a new thing we've got to be doing. Yes.
Oh, do you have time? We got 2 minutes. Do you think you got a two-minute long story?
Yes, I do. Nintendo, you fail.
Oh!
Nintendo adds 3DS eShop next week, banned Flash, so now they're Apple.
Flash, oh! Anyway, go ahead.
According to Develop, Nintendo has decided not to support Flash-based apps on its 3DS handhelds, echoing Apple's ban on the platform on iOS devices. Nintendo has decided that it won't allow developers to use Flash for developing games or other applications. This is particularly important for those wanting to use Flash-based technologies in Nintendo's 3DS web browser. On a related note, Nintendo of America announced this morning that it would release a major system update for the 3DS that adds the 3DS internet browser and the Nintendo eShop, which contains a variety of new content, including a Pokédex 3D, an application that lets fans see Pokémon characters in 3D. Nintendo is offering the NES game Excitebike remastered in 3D as a free download until July 7th. Upcoming virtual console content available in the Nintendo eShop includes Game Boy games Super Mario Land, Alleyway, and Radar Mission. New content will be added to the Nintendo eShop on Thursdays. The system update for the 3DS will be available in North America the evening of June 6th, sometime Pacific time.
Mm.
Yeah, so in other words, y'all just became an overrated iPhone. And if anybody read my review about the Xperia, I will never go back to an iPhone. Never.
Ooh. I haven't gotten a chance to read it, but I got to read it before I send it over to Sony, and they're going to love that.
Mm-hmm. I will never go back to an iPhone. Mm-hmm. No, screw you guys. Y'all lost.
Well, I have to say this to you lovely people. It is Thursday. You got one more day, so...
Yes.
Okay, guys. I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too many.
You guys, make sure you listen to us tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yay!
Okay, guys. I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
See y'all later.